Where Nigel goes, miracles and signs and wonders occur. God speaks through him and gives him prophetic words for people, and he will lay hands on people and God will transform lives. So I'm looking forward. This will be the first time Nigel has been with us, but from the first time we met, God formed a relationship with Nigel and I, and he stays in touch and calls, and he and I are going to do a video on some of the ministries that I've worked with and he's worked with, discussing how God used them. Well, I trust I've stalled long enough for you to find Ephesians 2. If you haven't found it now, just give up and look on the overhead. For some reason, I've got a little too much kick up here. Unless somebody left a mic open in front of one of the monitors, I don't know what it is, but a little bit too loud. Sometimes our sound system has a mind of its own, and the ladies and gentlemen upstairs have to rush to correct what's going on. But in our new building, we won't have this problem. We'll have a totally new sound system and have equipment that's all designed to work together rather than we got a little of this and a little of that and a little of something else. Daily, I'm celebrating our new campus and our new building. But Pastor, it's been years. Don't matter, it's still a done deal. Our God is faithful. But I want you to go with me to Ephesians, the second chapter tonight. Some great truths are here to transform your understanding of your new relationship with the anointed Redeemer. There are too many people that God saved and are just waiting to go to heaven. Then there are some people that really did get born again, really did commit to God in their salvation and their water baptism, and they understand that they are not who they used to be. I don't care if you thought you were a good or bad person before the anointed Redeemer came to your life. You are different since he has come. And in Ephesians 2, many of these truths are addressed that I want you to see tonight. And you were dead in your trespass and sin. If you were not born again, you were a dead man walking, because the sentence of death was on you. It's only through the new birth that the sentence of death is broken, because the sentence of death passes on every person born of a woman. And if you're here, you were born of a woman. They haven't quite got around to cloning people yet. And even if they continue trying, they won't be able to do it, because you can clone the blood, the skin, the organs, but you can't clone a spirit. And at the new birth, our Lord and Redeemer washes your spirit man from everything it used to be and every curse and sentence that was against you, so that you are now a new creation, a new species of being. You were human, but you're not anymore. Don't let anyone tell you you're only human. You're not human if you're born again. You're supernatural. I was watching something and they were talking about all these action heroes and how America has gone crazy over action heroes, and everybody would like to have a superpower. And I heard in my spirit, you have superpowers. You have love. You have faith. You can speak peace into a situation and transform the entire situation. You have hero gifts to change the world. You have superpowers because you are a super being, not human, endowed. Endowed. Translated into the family of Jehovah, Lord of hosts. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. Pastor, what does that mean? It means when you were human, you did what other humans do. Now that you're born again, you should not be doing the things other humans do. You should be doing the thing children of God do. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the devil, take authority over everything that opposes you. Exhibit the triumph that our Lord won in his resurrection. According to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. You notice he doesn't say the sons of smoking, the sons of drinking, the sons of sinning and fornicating. The greatest sin people commit is not physical sins they commit. It's not believing God. And there are people sitting in churches all over the world who are committing the sin of disobedience. They hear a message on healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out the devil, and they begin to sing, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if that were really true?" No, you're doubting God. God said, superpowers live in you. Exercise your superpowers. Now then, every born-again child of God has one or more gifts of the Spirit. And Phoebe, I've had people ask me, say, how do I know what gift I have? Well, you can pray and seek God over it. Or you notice when that gift is in operation, when somebody is ministering in tongues or interpretation or prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, something inside of you harmonizes with it. I've told people it's like you can take a key of C tuning fork and hold it in your hand and then get another key of C tuning fork and strike it, and without ever moving this one, when it gets close, it will start radiating because they are on the same wave. They're on the same wavelength. So when you're around another man or woman of God and they start to flow in a gift and you begin radiating, then take note. That's where God has blessed me with that gift, because my spirit man leaps and harmonizes when that gift is in operation. And as you pay attention to that gift within you, you'll also know when somebody is faking it. We were in a church years ago where a guy would show up at church nearly every service with his big chief, really, a big chief writing tablet. And he would sit at work and develop a prophecy and write it down on his big chief tablet, and then we'll read it at church. I didn't harmonize because you don't spend days working up a prophecy. It's just revealed to you. It just erupts in your spirit. And as John says, out of your belly flows that living water that God has infused you with. But what a lot of people don't realize is the prince of the spirit of the air, the demons of darkness, are directing your bad behavior, inspiring you to lie, to cheat, to steal, to doubt God, to question the Word of God. You have got to refuse to be moved by anything that's contrary to God said. The fact that you're born again does not mean you're exempt. Brother Hagin used to say, I can't stop the birds from flying over my head, but I can stop them from building a nest in my hair. The prince of the power of the air will come to you with lies and tricks and schemes and deceptions. You've got to determine that ain't taking up residence in me. I'm not having it. Even as a believer, doubt and unbelief come to you. Sometimes when you're going through a period of weakness, they bombard you because the devil likes to kick you when you're down because he knows you probably won't resist. Resist the devil. Begin to praise God. Don't be like some stupid Christian. I rebuke you, devil. I rebuke you, devil. I rebuke you, devil. No, no, no. Begin to worship God and praise God, and you have rebuked the devil. Among them, we too formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh. The lust of your flesh there is not a desire to fornicate. It can have a sexual connotation, but it can also be you want to praise God and your flesh wants to take a nap. You want to go to church and your body wants to find an easy chair. God calls you away for a time of separating yourself to talk with Him. And instead of honoring a fast, your flesh says to you, take some snacks. You might get hungry while you're praying. Among whom you too formerly lived in the lusts of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. When I got to this part, the Lord stopped me and I got out my red pencil and I highlighted by nature and children of wrath. And Daddy said to me, have you noticed how many people are angry without a real reason? In fact, some people walk around testy, waiting for any excuse to get angry. Why? They're under the influence of the devil's wrath. The devil hates God, hates humans, hates anybody who is not doing his will. And you will find that you will be places from time to time and you'll meet one of the children who has given into that wrath and they attack you for no apparent reason. Why? Because they have so yielded themselves to the spirit of the world that they have taken up the wrath of Satan. If you think about it a moment, you know people that they are continually angry. You go to a restaurant and a waiter drops something and they go into a tirade. And you're like, I didn't even notice that. I've been around people that we'd be walking down a street and they go, are you going to take that? And I go, what? And he said, that guy just walked by. He gave you snake eyes. You going to take that? He's already down the block. What, am I going to chase him down? I can't take up the offense of every fool who's walking around carrying the devil's wrath. And in our present political climate, you're really seeing it. The devil had a plan for America. And the powers that be had already crowned Hillary to carry on Obama's destruction of America. And if she had been elected, we would have been in a heap of trouble. But God intervened, and God put his person in, and now a lot of those things are getting overturned and changed. And America will not be reduced to a nation that they wanted to be equal with all the other nations. I'm not going to live like a third world nation. I'm not going to share my bounty with people who don't even believe in my God. It makes me downright mad to find out that we're sending money to Saudi Arabia. They've got rooms stacked with currency, rooms stacked with gold. They're making billions every year off of oil. Why are we sending them subsidies for education? Every year, billions, and some years, it exceeds $1 trillion of your tax money is going into other nations who hate your God. And most of them hate you. You can't buy people. They may smile while you're handing them the money, but that just gives them more reason to want to get even with you because you got it and they don't. I think we should stop doing anything in any nation except funding Christian radio where they're hearing the truth and funding radio and television outlets that will indoctrinate the nation in the truth. Other than that, forget it. If you want to worship that God, let him provide your need. We worship the true God, and he provides our need. But you could spend a lot of time meditating on children of wrath. Why are they angry? Why are they hateful? Why are they spiteful? Because they have so yielded to the devil, they've picked up his nature. And so anything that would incite the devil incites them. Anything that's contrary to the devil's purpose in the earth, they get angry about. But church, you'll recognize people by the wrath they've given into that they have not come under the lordship of the Yeshua HaMashiach of God. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we're dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. by grace you have been saved. One day I was reading this and the Lord stopped me right there. And he said, do you realize every person who dies and goes to hell, I already provided them with eternal life. They just never opened the gift. Now, when you begin to meditate that God died for every person in the person of his Son and provided eternal life and salvation for every person who would ever live. But if they don't take advantage of it, they'll die in their sins and trespasses. With God having loved them and already assigned eternal life to them. But they just didn't RSVP. That thought alone will work in you for a while, Brother Ken. Just thinking about the fact that God loves so much that all the unlovely, wrath-filled, mean, nasty people, he provided salvation for Hitler, for Mussolini, for Stalin. They just never accepted what was theirs. And so they died under the devil's tutelage. Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Made us alive together with Christ. I know some people have not gotten a revelation on this, and they don't understand the importance I put on the way you were water baptized. If you were dunked, you didn't get baptized. If you shook the preacher's hand and went under the water without recognizing what was really going on, then my water baptism is a public testimony to all who are witnessing it, to the devil and all the demons who have plagued my life in the past. It's telling all of them, I am joining Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And as he came forth new, I will come forth new. I have seen people, they would step into the tank and I would put them under the water. And because they had so committed to their water baptism, they came out of the water healed. Pain, discomfort, something that they had would be gone because they received their newness of life. I've baptized people and they came up out of the water speaking in tongues when they did not formally speak in tongues. But because they identified with the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and their baptism was a testimony of his triumph, not just, well, that's what you do. After you get saved, you get washed in the tub. No. Your baptism is a testimony, or at least it should be. And if it wasn't, get rebaptized. I did. Once I knew what was going on, I got rebaptized. Why? Because the first time I was baptized, that's what everybody was doing. Everybody that got saved this month, we're having water baptism, you get dunked. In some churches, they don't even ask you if you're saved. Are you 12 years old? Then you need to be baptized. I never found that scripture on 12 years old in the Bible. Well, Pastor says the age of accountability. The age of accountability is when you know right from wrong, not when you become a preteen. Once you know what you're doing is wrong, you're accountable for having done it. And raise us up together with him. Pastor, that sounds like past tense. What if I haven't been properly baptized yet? It may not have occurred in your life, but in the spirit realm, it's already occurred. Because God associated you with the resurrection of his Son. And when he was resurrected, it was on your behalf. Now join him in that testimony so you can share in the triumph that was accomplished in his resurrection. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. There's coming a time where Daddy God is going to welcome you into your eternal abode, and he's just going to show out on all that he can do for you and provide for you. Because there won't be anything standing in the way. Not your flesh, not the devil, not the prince of the power of the air. There'll be nothing between you and God, and he can just bless your socks off. Amen. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Nobody decides when they're going to be born again. Doesn't matter what they told you. Well, I decided to get saved. No, the Holy Spirit was drawing you, because no one comes to the Father except the Holy Spirit draws him. Well, Pastor, I've been praying that so-and-so would pray the sinner's prayer. Stop it. Pray that the eyes of their understanding be open to the Father's will for their life. Because just because they say the prayer doesn't mean they're changed. Because the requirement is if you believe in your heart and confess it in your mouth. Not if you do it, you say the words to get somebody to shut up. Not as a result of works, so that no man can boast. You can't make your salvation better. You can't add to it. You can't take from it. It's a gift. Not as a result of works. Not as a result of works. You'll still hear people testify, well, I stopped smoking and I stopped drinking and I gave my heart to the Lord. It's admirable that you stopped a few bad habits, but that didn't make you more saved, and it didn't qualify you for salvation. Receiving did. For we are his workmanship. Oh, you can spend hours meditating that. You are his workmanship. God finally crafted each one of you. Whether you're Kennard or Debbie, doesn't matter. You were gloriously and wonderfully formed to be who you be. Don't worry about trying to be somebody else. God spent a lot of effort forming you to be who you be. Let the real you shine. Let his workmanship be known. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. When Jesus was raised from the dead, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave, the kingdom of darkness, he did that for you, so that you could join him in doing the works he did. You were born again to do good works. You're not born again because you did good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Daddy prepared healing, deliverance, miracles, signs, and wonders for you to walk in, revel in, be a part of, not to sit in a good service and observe. Leave observership and join participation in good works. But Pastor, what can I do? We explained that earlier tonight. You can be attentive and feel that presence of God that begins to vibrate within you when a gift is in operation. Now that you know what gift God has put within you, start studying all you can about it so you can develop it and be submissive to the gift. I didn't say use it. I said be submissive to the gift, because you don't use miracles. They use you. You don't use laying hands on the sick. It uses you. You're the vessel through which the Holy Spirit performs these deeds. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcised by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. What is he saying? If human hands can do it, it ain't that big a deal. So don't be intimidated. Their roots are no deeper than yours. And if they're not born again, they don't have roots. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ. Before the new birth, you were separate from Christ. You were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. Wait a minute, Pastor. What does it mean I was excluded from the commonwealth of Israel? I have a new covenant. They had an old covenant. But every promise God made to them now belongs to me. So I have the new covenant blessings as well as the old covenant blessings. So I can read Psalms 91 and go, it's mine. I can read Psalms 23 and go, it's mine. I can read Isaiah 53, 54 and go, that's mine. Because I get everything they had, but greater. Because I have a new covenant with better promises. But God never changes his mind. Now, some people misunderstanding this, they say, well, Israel is saved because they're Israelites. No, no, no. They're heirs of the old covenant. But that doesn't make them born again. Pastor, what are you saying? God can bless unbelievers. When I was not right with God, and I was in Nam, one night we were sitting on a hillside in Nam, smoking some funny cigarettes, and a rocket attack started. And it blew up a 3 million gallon fuel storage facility. Now, when you're a little high and those flames are going, it looked like a mile up in the air, you're like, oh, wow. Far out. But the rockets kept coming and started walking up the hill. And when they started walking up the hill, I remembered prayers I knew I'd forgotten. And I went from, oh, wow, to, oh, God, real fast. and the rocket stopped before they got to us. Pastor, you weren't right with God. No, but God was right with me. God will always be right with you, even when you're not right with Him. But I'll tell you this, you get sober real fast when you're running from incoming rockets. Excluded from the covenants of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I have hope, I have God, I have the old covenant promises, and I have the new covenant promises. I am doubly blessed. But now in Christ Jesus, you were formerly were far off, have been made near by the blood of Christ, by the blood of Christ. His blood shed on that tree availed for every sin that would ever be. I tell people it's important to understand God did not allow Jesus to die for your sins. He died to take sin out of the picture for those who would believe on Him. For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. What does that mean? I can access anything the Jewish covenant allows them to access, but they can't access everything I can. The wall is broken. I can cross over. They can't. By abolishing in His flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments, the Ten Commandments that so many stupid Christians are fighting to keep on the courthouse grounds, to keep up in the courtrooms. The Ten Commandments have nothing to do with you as a New Covenant believer. You're exempt from them. Why? He didn't take away your sins. He took away sin. Commandments contained an ordinance so that in Himself He made the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. And might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross by having put to death the enmity. Not only did sin, separation from God, all of that die, but the enmity that was between Jew and Gentile was put to death. We can love them even though they have a lesser covenant and lesser promises than we do. But because we love them, we want them to embrace the new covenant and receive its benefits. And He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were very near. He sent His Son to preach to me. Pastor, when did this occur? After the resurrection, He came back and said, "It's done. Enter into the blessings of the Lord. If you believe and receive me, you're there." And He released the Holy Spirit on the disciples before they were born again, so that when they were born again, they stepped into what was already theirs. Just as you today can step into what was already yours when you receive the promises of God and the blessings of His cleansing blood. For through Him, we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. Today, there's a popular doctrine. Brian, they go around trying to say, all paths lead to God. No, only one. He is not going to make an exception for Buddhists, Maoists, Shintoists, Hindus. You go through His Son, or you don't arrive. Why? He is the door. It is through Him and through Him alone that you have access to the Father. Once you gain access to the Father, you're family. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are God's household. I want to stop right there. I've shared with you before that somehow, erroneously, a teaching arose. In my Father's house are many mansions. And He's up there right now preparing a mansion for me. He is not a carpenter now. He was not a carpenter then. Heaven existed before man was created. He said, I want to go back to the throne I used to sit on before the world was created. Heaven is intact. What our Lord said there was, I'm going to make a place for you in the family, in the household of God. In my Father's house are many compartments. I'm going to make sure your name is on one of those compartments. That's not a mansion. But Pastor, I just love hearing them saying, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright city. No. What do you want a mansion for when you can dwell in His presence day and night? The sun never sets. It's never night. I'm not taking bedroom furniture with me to heaven. It's one eternal now. And that eternal now is a banquet. So what Jesus was saying is, through my death, burial, and resurrection, I'm preparing a place of standing in the household of God, that you will become part of the family tree. I'm already going to write your name on a leaf in the family tree in total faith and expectation that one day you'll accept what my Father did for you. If not, the place is still there. The place is still there. Why? What God does is eternal. He never changes His mind. So when He died for everybody, salvation belongs to every person. Kinship with Jehovah, Lord of hosts, belongs to every person. What a shame it is to die without opening the gift He gave you. When you approach people, don't scare the hell out of them. If you were to die this very moment, do you know where you would spend eternity? You black-hearted sinner, you. I've already judged you as going to hell. No. You tell them about the awesome gift of life, that awaits them. Their designated place in the family tree. You joyfully explain to them, all of this is waiting for you. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it. Just open the present. Receive the death, burial, and resurrection of the anointed Redeemer as your birthright. I'm not giving up my birthright. There's not enough porridge in the world to get mine. Why? I know the price he paid to buy my family standing. Carry the good news to people. Don't try and scare them to death. There are some so-called evangelists who specialize in painting hell extra hot. And when they begin to talk about eternity with the devil, you'll see people gripping their chair or pew with white knuckles because they're trying to resist the fear that's coming on them. Even if you got them to walk the aisle with that mess, fear brought them, not faith. Don't ever condemn people or share with them the damnation that awaits them. Share with them the glory that awaits them if they make the right choice. I challenge you. Get at least an amplified translation or a few of many different translations and begin studying the book of Ephesians. There are hidden jewels buried all in it. Reading it, Marilyn, we can read over and not realize it if I just stayed here for a minute. Just sunk my teeth into this and I began to meditate it. There's gold under that passage. Pure, life-giving, eternal gold. I encourage you, fall in love with the book of Ephesians. It was written to explain to you what happened to you in the new birth and what is available to you in the new birth and the standing that you have in God. After you spend some time reading and meditating Ephesians, you'll be a different person in your understanding of your new identity. I trust you received something tonight and that by going slowly through Ephesians 2, we've whetted your appetite to want to dig further into this gold mine and harvest some of the wealth for yourself. Father, we've delivered your word to your people, and their ears were anointed to hear, their hearts were anointed to receive, and not one word will fall from their understanding. But Holy Spirit, you will bring back to them every word they've heard tonight, and you will expand it and magnify it and multiply it and bring them even greater revelation. Father, I thank you that I pastor the wealthiest group of people in the wealthiest church the world has ever known, and your glory and your majesty will be seen through this people. And the people said, you're loved, you're blessed, go with God. Brother Steve,
yes, sir.
Before we leave, I'd like to come into the office and watch you open the safe.
Okay.
Lewis sent me by here a couple of times, and she gave me a comment.